Revelation chapter 3, the first three verses. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, or a reputation of being alive, and art dead. Be watchful, or wake up, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect or complete before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Our Lord Jesus speaks to his congregation figuratively when he says the congregation is dead. And when he says, be watchful or be awake or wake up. And when he says, strengthen the things which remain but are ready to die. Then he explains what he means in plain language when he says, remember what you have received and heard. What things is he talking about? What had they heard and received but had forgotten about? We know it would have been things like this. Jesus Christ was crucified. He died and was buried, but he is risen again. Repent and be baptized in his name for remission or forgiveness of sins. Believe in Jesus Christ and be saved to eternal life. God is one God who is Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And as Jesus Christ loves us, so we ought to love one another. Those are the things that we know they would definitely have heard and received from the apostles. Our Lord Jesus tells his congregation to repent of neglecting and forgetting those things that they had received and heard. To remember them and to hold fast to those things, to keep them, to guard them. Always when our Lord preaches repentance, there's the promise of forgiveness for those who repent. Whenever you hear it being preached to you, repent. Whether it's said right on the heels of it or not, the meaning is repent and be forgiven in Jesus Christ. But what about those in the congregation who wouldn't repent? What about those who do not repent? We'll talk about what the Lord Jesus said about that this evening. In verse 3 of what we just read, the remedy that we talked about last week, which is summarized just now. Remember, repent. But then if you won't watch, meaning if you won't repent, you won't remember those things, you won't hold fast to them, you won't repent, you won't watch or be awake, then he says, I will come upon thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come. It is a little weird to hear Jesus say, I'll be like a thief. We know a thief is someone who takes things that don't belong to him, and the Lord Jesus doesn't mean, I will be like a thief in that. He doesn't mean, I'll be like a thief in that a thief takes away things that don't belong to him, and I will take away things that don't belong to me. He doesn't mean that. He means in the way that a thief comes when you're not expecting him, when you're not watching out for him. He comes when you are asleep, sneaks in, breaks in, takes things, and has done it before you know what was happening. He says that I will be like a thief, I will come like a thief in that sense. I'll come when you aren't looking for me to come. Now, that way of speaking, equating Jesus to being like a thief, the coming of Jesus being like the coming of a thief. That is said several times in the New Testament, and we'll look at some of those times and understand it better. We're going to look first in Matthew 24 to the Lord Jesus himself saying this before. We're going to look in Matthew chapter 24. As we look at this theme of Jesus saying, of it being said that Jesus is going to come like a thief and you don't know when, two things should go on in our hearts here. Some of you might be, up until this point, unrepentant. You're sinning, you're living in sins, you're living in disobedience, and you haven't really turned from it. Maybe you feel bad about it sometimes, but haven't really turned from it to trust in Jesus. Well, when you hear the Lord Jesus and the others in the scriptures talking like this, it should make you afraid. It should make you fear. What's going to happen to me if I stay like this? But then, if you are repentant, you realize you've done things wrong, but you've turned from them and you are looking for forgiveness in Jesus Christ, well then, reading these things about the thief coming, Jesus being like a thief coming, the things that you read, that we are going to read here together, should renew or strengthen you in hope, in confidence that you're forgiven, and in hope of the good things to come from the Lord for those who are repentant. So we're going to look first at our Lord Jesus Christ himself introducing this theme of his coming being like the coming of a thief. In Matthew 24, we are reading what has come to be called the Olivet Discourse, standing on the Mount of Olives, looking over at Jerusalem, where the grand, amazing, huge, beautiful temple can be seen, and Jesus answering questions from his disciples, because he had said the whole temple was going to be thrown down, not a stone on top of another, and his disciples asked him some questions, and he was answering them, and he was answering some things about his coming. I'll read Matthew 24, verses 42 to 44. Matthew 24, 42. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up or broken into. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now the Lord Jesus saying that when he was here on earth with us and his disciples hearing him, this was a long time before he said it to John to be passed on to the congregation at Sardis and to the rest of us. So when the Lord Jesus says more briefly in Revelation 3 where we read, I will come like a thief, we should look to where he introduced this and spoke at more length about it to understand it better. Verse 43, our Lord uses the figure of a thief coming. And he warns about a person who is unrepentant being like someone whose house has been broken into. If a thief comes to somebody's house while that person is sleeping, he will break things, he'll take away things that are precious to the person. He might even harm him, possibly murder him, but he will take away that person's treasures. He will cause him to suffer loss. He might cause him to suffer severe loss. And the Lord Jesus talks about that there when he introduces this theme. his house will be broken into. The person doesn't want that to happen. The thief does it against that person's will. He breaks in, the person not watching. The thief then can break in. So the Lord Jesus commands us, instead of it being like that for us, when the Lord Jesus comes, instead of it being like that, he says that instead we should watch. See, that is the first verse. Watch, or be awake, or wake up, or stay awake, or be watchful. And then verse 44, he says another thing about it, therefore, be ready. So his listeners, his disciples, all of us, we're supposed to hear the Lord Jesus saying, watch, or be wakeful, or be awake, and be ready. But we don't know from this passage what the figure of watching represents. And we don't know what he means by our being ready. I've talked to you about this a little bit before, the previous Wednesday evenings, but you know, he doesn't mean you're not ever allowed to get any sleep. You know, he says watch, but it's a figure. He doesn't mean literally, don't ever go to sleep all night, every night, be looking to see if Jesus is coming. He doesn't mean that. He's using a figure. If someone suspects there's going to be a thief coming, he will somehow find a way to set a watch. He will get a security camera system with alarms, or he'll get a big, scary barking dog, or he'll get motion sensor lights, or he'll hire a guard, or the members of the household will take turns. You know, somehow a watch will be set. If he knows that a thief is coming, there's the figure. You know that Jesus is coming, and therefore you should be watching like someone who suspects a thief is coming and has set a watch. But it's a figure. It's not literal. You're not literally supposed to be looking with your eyes instead of sleeping all night, every night. It's a figure. But right here, we don't know what the figure represents. The Lord Jesus says, watch. What does he mean by that? And then he says, be ready. Okay. But what am I supposed to do to be ready? If he's coming, how am I supposed to be ready? We understand that if we're going on a trip, we have to pack our suitcase, and you know, if company's coming over, we need to straighten the house and clean the bathroom and fix food. But with, if Jesus is coming, what are we supposed to do to be ready? If we think a thief is coming, we can kind of figure out what to do to be ready. You know, we'll have everybody looking, and we'll have our club or our guns or our sword handy. But this is a figure. We're not supposed to be ready for Jesus to come by having our gun loaded or our knife in our hand. You know, so what are we literally supposed to do? It doesn't say. Jesus is speaking in a figure and doesn't explain exactly what it means. Okay, so right here I'm going to pause and have a short lesson on understanding the Bible, on Bible interpretation. Lots of the gospel material is Jesus saying something in a figure and not explaining literally what he meant. Some of the gospel material, Jesus speaks in a parable. It's recorded that the apostles say, tell us the meaning of the parable. And Jesus tells it in plain language. But a lot of the gospel material, you have him speaking figuratively and don't have it explained in plain language. Same is true in the Old Testament prophets. You can read in Isaiah or Ezekiel and there's visions and figures, and it doesn't necessarily explain how that prophecy is to be understood and fulfilled. So then, you will hear preachers, maybe you've heard already, or someone else, who will tell you, who will start to expound this exhorting you or commanding you or rebuking you or promising you. And really, as he interprets Jesus' figurative language or the prophet's symbolic visions, he will really just be telling you things that are from his own imagination or that he heard from somebody else who was speaking from his own imagination. Jesus said, watch, and therefore that means we're supposed to, and then we'll start telling you things that really is he's just making up. I'll admit to being guilty of that more years ago than recently, hopefully. Now, a lot of the figures that Jesus spoke in and a lot of the symbols from the Old Testament prophecies, guess who explained them in plain language? The apostles, our Lord's apostles. You can read their letters, and over again you find the symbolic language used by the Lord Jesus, used again by the apostles, and then explained in plain language. So here's some poor Bible interpretation. You read the Lord Jesus says, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good deeds and glorify my Father in heaven. Okay, so therefore you need to, you know, women, you need to leave your husbands and children and go overseas on a mission trip. You know, or, you know, we could, you've heard the litany I've gone through, and you know some of what I mean. Well, go to the apostles and find where Paul and Peter use that language of letting your light shine, see your good deeds, and they will have it hit, they'll explain it much closer to home. So you've got bad Bible interpretation, you've got good apostolic, Holy Spirit-inspired Bible interpretation. So what we're going to work on this evening is getting, you know, suppressing, resisting the urge from this figurative language to imagine what this means. We're going to go to where the apostles take up this figurative language and put it in plain terms. We have it both in Paul and in Peter. So we're going to look first in the Apostle Paul, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. You know, the chapter divisions are artificial. They're added later. Helpful for reference, but they sometimes interrupt the thought. The subject has already been the coming of the Lord Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Nobody should be surprised to find the apostle using the same language the Lord Jesus used. Whose apostle is he? He's the apostle of Jesus Christ. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So here the apostle is taking up the very words of the Lord Jesus, his coming as a thief in the night. You don't know when it's going to be. And he says here, what happens to the unrepentant when Jesus comes like a thief? Verse 3, sudden destruction comes upon them. The Lord Jesus has come more than once in more than one way. When he comes, at his second advent, his second coming, there will be a great destruction of the unrepentant wicked. There are other senses in which the Lord Jesus comes and works in his congregation and works in people's lives. Whenever the work is on the unrepentant, it's a work of destruction. Let the unrepentant be afraid of that. The Lord Jesus is coming. When he comes, you won't have expected it. He'll come and he'll destroy. It's a little strange to talk about Jesus like that, because when he came first, he didn't come to destroy, but came to save. Didn't come to judge, but to give his life as a ransom for many. Came to seek and to save that which was lost. But when he comes again, our glorious King, he's going to come as the judge of all mankind. He executes God's wrath on the unrepentant, as well as executing God's mercy and forgiveness on the repentant. Now, for the true Christians, the coming of the Lord is not like a thief. Now, that's very helpful for us to have explained to us. When the Lord Jesus said, "When I come, I will come like a thief." Well, then, if his disciples don't have that explained to them, they can think, "Oh no, that's something to dread then. Jesus coming, he's going to come like a thief. I'm going to somehow suffer loss and be broken into." And when Jesus spoke to the congregation in Revelation chapter 3, you know, "If you won't watch, then I'm going to come on you like a thief." Well, the Christians might think, "Oh no, what if we don't watch? Jesus is going to come on us like a thief." But here the Apostle Paul is explaining, verse 4, "But ye brethren," you know, brothers, he's not talking about people who aren't even Christians or who are, you know, are hypocrites or don't even say they're Christians, don't even think they're Christians. But the brothers, the true believers, "we're not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief." So this is not for the devout Christians to dread what Jesus is going to do because it'll be like a thief. No, devout Christians, his coming is not to us like a thief. No, to us his coming is something welcome. Now, as you go on in this, the Apostle Paul takes up the same figurative language, and he talks about, you know, says, "Let us not sleep, but let us watch. Let us not sleep, but let us watch." Okay, but we might still not know, you know, what exactly is meant there. The apostle goes deeper into the figure. He carries the figure on farther, because the idea of the keeping watch or being awake is the idea of a soldier on guard, you know, or a shepherd on watch or others, but a soldier on guard and a soldier who is on duty, awake, watching, will have his armor on and his weapons handy. A soldier who has ceased watching might have taken his uncomfortable armor off and put his weapon away or left it somewhere unhandy. So the apostle goes on in the figure, "Watch, be on guard, be awake," and then says, "Have your breastplate," your main piece of armor, "and your helmet on your head." Okay? But still, We're in figurative language. It's very good for conveying the idea and making it memorable, but we need at some point to know, well, what exactly is he talking about? Because again, he's not talking about literal armor, literal breastplate and helmet. Well, finally, we get the plain language. This is verse 8. The breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet of the hope of salvation. Now, there's the literal. Figuratively, a breastplate. But literally, what is it we are supposed to make sure we have? Faith and love. A helmet, figuratively, but what? Really? What literally? I mean, it is really a helmet, but what literally? Hope. Specifically, the hope of salvation, of being saved. Now, I had not referenced this when I was, for last week, looking into the things that you have received and heard. I wasn't following this passage. I was looking, you remember, trying to see, well, what things are we sure they would have heard? But look how well this accords with what we discovered in that research. Here it's faith and love and hope of salvation. Just a few important words to summarize the very things we were talking about before. Faith in Jesus Christ, having died and risen again. Hope in his coming again. Love, the love that he has shown us from God, that we are with which then we are to love one another. The very things. So this figure, watch, because you don't know when Jesus is coming. Have your armor on, because you're on guard. We understand it. This means believe, hope in Jesus Christ, love one another. This is what watching consists in, being a faithful soldier who stays awake and guards when he's put on guard duty. That's the figure. But for the congregation in Sardis, for this congregation, for the individual Christian, when we hear the Lord Jesus say, I am coming like a thief in the night. You won't know when. Well, we hear from the apostle. For those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we're not going to be caught as if a thief is coming upon us unawares. We're not going to be stolen from. We're not going to be harmed when Jesus Christ comes, because we are going to be believing. We're going to have faith. We are going to be loving one another. We are going to be hoping in Jesus Christ's return. Therefore, when he comes and we are in that state, his coming will not be to us like the coming of a thief in the night. But for those who hear all the warnings, they hear all the good news, they hear all the warnings, but they won't watch. You know, for those of you who won't watch, well, what does that mean literally? It means they won't believe. They won't hope in the coming of Jesus Christ. They won't love one another. They won't repent. Well, what is in store for them? Jesus will come, and it will be to them like a thief coming in the night. Okay, let me pause right there before going on and ask, would any of you brothers like to help explain that from what you've learned or what you're understanding here, or ask a question along those lines? Anything you'd like to put in? All right, so there's in Paul, Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Thank you. 2 Peter chapter 3, you're going to hear just what you figure you will. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So, the unrepentant, what is going to come on the what is going to happen to the unrepentant when the Lord Jesus comes again? In what we just read in Paul, he said destruction will come. What does Peter say will come on the unrepentant? A great burning. Destruction again, more detail. Destruction by burning up. Fire. And for the unrepentant, then, there will be the eternal state of always being burned and never consumed with no end to it. A terrible, awful thing to come upon the unrepentant, those who during this life will not repent. But then, what about the others? What about the Christians, the true disciples of Jesus Christ? Well, the Apostle Peter uses two terms to summarize everything. It's in verse 11. Holy conversation, or conduct, and godliness. Used in this way, it means the two aspects of true religion, of biblical Christianity. Godliness, meaning true faith in God through Jesus Christ, devotion to him, the loving of the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, worshiping him in spirit and in truth, godliness. And then holy conversation or holy conduct, that's the other aspect of it. The living your daily life as God commanded, loving his commandments, striving also always more to obey them, more fully, more deeply, more sincerely, the life of doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, of loving your neighbor as yourself. That way to describe the two aspects of true religion or the biblical Christian life, not truly separate, but just distinguished to help us in understanding and living that way. Well, there's some plain language for you. Figurative language, watching. Plain language, living in godliness and in a holy conversation or conduct. Now, if we are unrepentant, then anyone who is unrepentant should be afraid. There is a terrible destruction. There is a fiery torment coming on the unrepentant, because those who will not repent and believe in Jesus, Jesus is going to come, and his coming will be to you like a thief in the night. You didn't know he was coming. Before you know it, he's broken in and he's taking from you. He's taking from you what you wanted, what you held dear. But Jesus isn't really a thief. He doesn't take anything that actually belongs to you. He only takes away what God's been merciful to let you have for a while, and you haven't been thankful for it. You haven't loved him for it. You haven't trusted him. And now your comforts you've enjoyed in this life They are taken away. Like the rich man and the poor man that Jesus talked about. The rich man enjoyed comforts during this life, and the poor man had only misery. But then, in the next life, the poor man was in paradise with Abraham, the rich man was in the torments of hell. And Abraham explained to that man, you have had your comforts during this life. Now you don't have them. And that's what it's going to be for the unrepentant, unbelieving. But for those who repent at Jesus' word, trusting him to forgive them, who then, of course, live in godliness and a holy conversation. Well, when we live in that kind of repentance and faith and hope and obedience and love, when we worship him in spirit and in truth, well, then we don't dread his coming. You know, we who are in Jesus Christ through faith, we're not thinking all the time, oh no, Jesus is going to come. What will he do to me when he gets here? We don't think like that. What is it with us? We look forward to his coming. We know that the destruction, the fire, it's not for us. The burning up is not for us. Instead, the blessedness of the new heavens and new earth that come after the destruction and the burning of the present world, that's what's for us. See in verse 12, it says, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God. We're looking forward to it. We wish it would come sooner. It's going to come in just the right time, but we could wish it would be sooner. We want it to be now, already. And in verse 13, we're looking for the new heavens and the new earth because that's where it's going to be all righteousness. So, the congregation in Sardis. There has been a lot of not watching, right? There's been a lot of people being asleep at their post. The pastor especially, also others, they're supposed to make sure. They're supposed to be remembering, reminding each other all the time, teaching, preaching, exhorting each other, rebuking, correcting each other, so that they all remember Jesus Christ crucified and buried and risen again. So they all remember that we repent and get baptized, all remembering that the repentant will be forgiven. Everybody talking to each other about love for one another. But there's been a lot of forgetting all of that. The Lord Jesus says, wake up, watch, repent, remember. And so, of course, it's expected that they will. Those who are in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit working inside them, they will remember, they will watch. But if there are any in that congregation who just aren't repentant, they weren't really repentant in the first place. They went to church for various reasons, but they weren't ever really believing in Jesus and repenting of sin. They were just there. Well, when they're told to repent and wake up, if they don't at that time repent, if they don't remember and believe in Jesus Christ crucified, then all they should look forward to, then they should truly dread and be afraid of Jesus coming. And then that fear, that dread, I could drive them to repent then. Didn't the Lord Jesus say that there was a son and the father told him, go work in the vineyard, and at first he said no? And that was something like the worst sinners in Israel, the prostitutes and tax collectors. But then, later, remember, he repented. And he went. And so, if you're anything like the people in Sardis that weren't going to repent, well then, just because you didn't repent at first, that doesn't mean that now you might not repent. But repent now. And remember Jesus Christ crucified. Believe in him according to that truth. have all your hope be in his coming again. Then you can live not dreading his coming again, but looking forward to it, wanting it to be as soon as possible. Would any of you brothers like to add something to that, help explain it, or help apply that to us? Okay, then that's all for now. Let us pray.